Hello, everybody. This is Chris. This is episode 55 of the Libertarian Republican Podcast. Sorry it's taken me so long to get another episode out. Life intervened a little bit there, 7 or 8 days between episodes. But I also wanted to do one on the State of the Union, Joe Biden's State of the Union speech, which, so, you know, it's awful, and it took me a while to listen to it and read through it, and I'm probably going to have to break this up into two episodes for this, because there's no way I'm going to get to everything. But let me access my high-tech system of files and notes that I have on this. This is, you know, I had to read this speech to, so that you didn't have to, basically, you didn't have to listen to it. It's painful to listen to, but you know, it's important. It's important to listen to it because this is the guy who runs our lives. You may not realize to what extent he controls almost every aspect of your life, which is terrifying, but that's the truth. It's the truth. But anyway, all right, so the first thing he talked about was Ukraine. Now, I've done episodes on this. You know, Ukraine is a problem that essentially we created. Putin told us what he was going to do. Russia told us what they were going to do. You know, we promised in the 90s, at the fall of the Soviet Union, we promised we would not move NATO 1 inch beyond East Germany. We lied. We just lied. That's the people in Washington, they lied. And Russia knows that we lied. And we continue to lie. And we continue to say, though, we're not a threat to you. We're not a threat to Russia. But we keep creeping, we keep moving our troops, our bases, our missiles closer and closer and closer to Russia. You know, we never just declared victory at the end of the Cold War. Like I've said, too many people in Washington, they make their living being cold warriors, and you know, I think there are people in Washington who just, they believe that they should run the world, and if they just can run the world, control, if they can have all the power, if they can completely control the entire world, then we'll have peace. Finally, we'll have peace. But once again, it's really dangerous to give anybody, even the United States, the wonderful and pure as the driven snow United States federal government, it's dangerous to give any one entity total control. Like the old saying, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And it's true. And it's scary, and it's very dangerous. There has to be a balance of power. And you know, in the United States, we the people are supposed to provide that balance of power. Against our government, against the United States federal government. But that is becoming less and less of a philosophical point that so many people even acknowledge. So, but anyway, the Ukraine situation, he talked about how we're basically, all the things we're doing, how we're not going to go to war, we're not going to send our troops to Ukraine, but we're going to do all this other stuff. And it's essentially like a total war against Russia. You know, this is an extremely dangerous game we're playing with Ukraine and Russia. You know, this is a nuclear power. Russia is a nuclear power of 140 million people. It's a big country. And we are basically at war with them. We are at war with them. We may not be shooting, but we are essentially trying to, really genuinely trying to destroy their entire economy. We're trying to bring their economy to its knees. This is 140 million people that we're gonna basically end up causing them to starve to death. You know, this could disintegrate the entire country of Russia could collapse into total chaos. And what's going to happen to those nuclear weapons in that kind of chaos? You know, what's going to happen when their economy collapses and the government collapses, and the government, maybe there's a coup, or maybe, you know, Lindsey Graham calling for someone to assassinate Putin. I mean, what, this is extremely dangerous here. What happens if Russia just collapses, and all those, what's going to happen to all those nuclear missiles? This is really dangerous. And you know, is it even humane to wage this kind of economic warfare against a civilian population? I mean, these are the same people who would tell you that we shouldn't have dropped the atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki because there were civilians working in those industrial cities. You know, it's the same kind of thing. I mean, we're basically attacking civilians. I mean, so it's a we're not really separating the people from the regime, and that's so we're talking about 140 million people who are going to suffer and maybe die because of what we're doing, and that's I'm not sure if that's the humane way to deal with this. So anyway, that's some of my thoughts on Ukraine. You know, but he talks of course about oil prices, about how this problem in Ukraine is gonna create problems for us here at home, like high oil prices. Well, oil prices have been going up long before had been going up long before Russia invaded Ukraine. So this is not because of Russia invading Ukraine. This is because the Democrats, Joe Biden and the Democrats, are waging a war on fossil fuels. I did an episode on that a month or two ago, 2 months ago, maybe 3 months ago, about the war on fossil fuels. And they are trying to make fossil fuels more expensive. This is their goal. But now it's getting out of hand, and everybody is complaining. And they're realizing, oh my God, this wasn't a good idea. Well, of course it wasn't a good idea. It was a terrible idea because we still are incredibly dependent on fossil fuels. Our entire economy, the whole world economy, is dependent on fossil fuels. Fossil fuel prices go up. Energy prices are a component of every price. Food, houses, clothes, shoes, sandwiches, doesn't matter what it is. So if energy prices go up, the price of everything goes up. That's called, and that's one of the causes of inflation. We call that inflation. It's just high prices, but it's destructive. You know, so they're realizing, oh, let's blame Russia. Yeah, don't buy it. It's not Russia's fault. And he talked about he's going to release 30 million barrels of oil. Wow, 30 from our strategic petroleum reserve. Wow, 30. We use 18 million barrels of oil per day, every day. So that's not even 2 days worth. That's going to make any significant difference in our oil prices? I mean, he shouldn't even have. I mean, that's just so. It's unbelievable. He's got the. It's almost like he just doesn't even know how many millions of barrels of oil per day we use in America. He probably doesn't, because he's a complete idiot, and he's completely out of touch with reality. Like all these Washington, he's been living in Washington his whole life, his entire adult life he's been in Washington, and you've been paying him out of your money. You've been going to work earning money, and then a portion of your paycheck has been going to fund Joe Biden's life, since 1968 or something like that. It's ridiculous, this guy. Then he went on and talked about the American Rescue Plan after COVID. Well, of course, the American Rescue Plan wouldn't have been necessary if we hadn't shut everything down. Shut the economy down, and this is a great example of how government. The standard pattern is government creates a problem, and then we all look to government to solve the problem. but they don't want to tell it. They don't. Nobody wants to talk about how government created the problem in the first place. But we need the government to solve this problem. And then the government solves the problem, but it ends up making everything worse in the long run. And that's what the American Rescue Plan, one of those things, one of the drivers of inflation. You know, so they shut down the economy, and then they continue to restrict the economy, to limit the economy. Even today, you know, the economy has certain COVID limits on it, and then they try to fix the problem by spending a whole bunch of money. And of course, this gets you back to the seen versus the unseen. Remember, every dime that the government spends must first be taken away from somebody else. So the government doesn't have any money. So, you know, looking to the government to solve our problems, with what? With what money? The government doesn't have any money. All the government does is take money from one group of people and give it to another group of people. You know, that's all the government does, and it's a terrible way to solve problems. He went on, he lied about the Trump tax cuts. Unlike the last administration, whose tax cuts only benefited the rich, the 1%, well, that's a lie. I mean, that's a flat-out, bald-faced lie. Even the New York Times admitted that was a lie. In, I think it was 2019 article, and I've posted that before. Look, every single tax bracket under the Trump tax cuts, every single tax bracket got a cut. Every single one. So every single taxpayer benefited from the Trump tax cuts. So to say that the tax cuts, the Trump tax cuts only benefited the rich is a lie. It's a flat out bald faced lie, and Trump should sue. He should sue. He should sue these people for lying, because they're lying. It's a lie. I mean, you can read it. You can look at it. It's a lie. So I don't understand why Trump doesn't sue these people the kids, you know, Nick Sandman and Kyle Rittenhouse. They're suing all these media, suing CNN and suing. I think that's great. That's what Trump should have done. Should have done that 4 years ago, when every time they told a complete provable lie, he should have sued them. Just kept him in court like for 4 years. Would have been great. But he didn't do that because he doesn't take my advice. Biden goes on to talk about the strong economy, how the economy has recovered. All the jobs have come back. You know, look at the jobs we created. Well, okay, if you shut everybody down and tell them not to go to work, and then you can't cheer when they get their jobs back or when they go back to work. Okay, you can't, you know, this is not something to celebrate like you're the hero. You know, that's like the old saying, you know, the government breaks your leg and then hands you a crutch and then you're supposed to thank the government? No. And you know, the other thing is this GDP growth. I talked about this in the episode about GDP or about inflation, about GDP growth. Remember, GDP is measured in nominal numbers. It's measured by G plus C plus I, government spending, consumer spending, business spending. When all those numbers are higher, the numbers are higher because it's because of inflation. You know, if you get a raise to $1 million an hour, well, that's a record. That's record, isn't it? Wow, look at how much money you're making. Wow, you're making $1 million an hour. But if a loaf of bread costs $1 billion an hour, well, it's not going to do you much good. I mean, a loaf of bread costs $1 billion. It's not going to do you much good, right? Your $1 million an hour raise doesn't look so good in that. You know, so these high GDP, you know, GDP growth rates, those numbers mean nothing. They don't mean anything. They're just numbers, but they don't reflect the real state of the economy, the real purchasing power of each one of those dollars, which is going down, plummeting down like a toilet. So he talked about trickle-down economics. So, you know, some people believe in trickle-down. Well, to me, the Democrats are the ones who believe in trickle down, because they believe that the government should take all the money, and then if you're nice to them, if they like you, some of that money will trickle down to you. But they should get, the government should get all the money. Yeah, tax all the businesses and tax everybody, tax. And then we'll dole it out to you. We'll give you your money. We'll give you your we'll pay for this, we'll pay for that, we'll pay for that. That's trickle-down economics. Donald Trump or the Republicans, they don't believe in trickle-down economics. If you make some money, you keep it. That's not trickle-down. That doesn't have anything to do with trickle-down. It's the whole thing is ridiculous. But this is one of their lies the Democrats tell all the time. It's just one of those things they always they reach into the drawer of lies and which lie should we tell today? Oh, the good old fashioned the good old trickle down economics lie. Yeah, let's talk about that one. It's ridiculous. You know, keep you going to work, earning money, and keeping your money. How is that trickle down? No, it's not. So. It's really, really frustrating. He talks about infrastructure. We gotta spend all this money on infrastructure. Well, okay, first of all, once again, every dime the government spends must first be taken away from somebody else. And you have the seen versus the unseen. If I take your money away and I fix this bridge over there, well, what would you have done with that money? If I hadn't taken it from you, I mean, I'm fixing this bridge. Now, you know, I'm sure I'm for infrastructure, but the other thing is, how much of that infrastructure is really going to be stuff that we actually need and want, and how much of it is going to be stuff that they're forcing on us, like electric vehicle charging stations and stuff like that. There might not be that much of an actual market demand for this stuff. You know, look at China. China has built entire cities. Look at the cities, these big cities that are completely empty because there's no demand for these buildings, for these cities. They're sitting empty. Same thing in all kinds of places. Same thing in places like Saudi Arabia or all these central planned economies like the Soviet Union. Soviet Union was a great example of that, where they would talk about how strong their economy is, because look at all the concrete we've made last year. They would measure look at the tons of concrete, 4 billion tons of concrete. That's a strong economy. What are they doing with it all? What are they doing with all this stuff? You know, it's if you're redirecting resources into an area where that's not actually making your life any better, then what good is it? You know, so this is the problem with central planning, where the government is going to decide what gets fixed, and it's a very inefficient way to run an economy. Or, you know, I've talked about nobody should run an economy. Nobody should run the economy. The economy should be its own thing happening. You know, the spontaneous order, the invisible hand, you know. So it's like the EV charging stations. Okay, he talks about he wants to invest in technology. This is a really good one. This drives me crazy. He talks about Intel. Intel's going to build a new factory, like 10,000 jobs, but they're waiting for Congress to pass this Innovation Act. Huh, well, that's interesting. I mean, if Intel wants to build a factory, hey, that's great. But why do they have to wait for the United States Congress to pass a bill before they can build this factory? There must be something in that bill that is basically giving money to Intel. So this is like crony capitalism. So this is basically they're taking your money away from you, giving it to Intel so Intel can build this factory. Or they're doing something, because there's something in this bill that Intel is waiting on. Isn't that interesting? You know, Joe Biden later in the speech, he says, "I'm a capitalist." That's not how capitalism works. You know, A company wants to build a factory, but they have to wait for the Congress to pass this sweetheart deal bill. That's crony capitalism. That's communism. That's fascism. That's the merger of government and big business. That's the two working together to benefit themselves and benefit each other. That's not a representative. That's not certainly not a free market economy, where if the market demands that Intel build this factory, then they build the factory. They don't have to wait for the Congress to pass a law. Like, you know, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, and he talks about lower, you know, here's how we fight inflation. Why don't you just lower your costs? Hey, everybody, lower your costs. I mean, this guy is a grade A moron. If he thinks, oh, it's just that easy, we're just gonna lower your costs. And, you know, he went on right away to price controls on insulin. Oh, we're just gonna cap the price of insulin. Nowhere does he ask, well, why does insulin cost so much to begin with? Well, guess what? I'm gonna do a whole episode on that, but government. Basically government, you know? If government basically outlaws or restricts the supply of everything, it restricts competition through patent laws and through the manipulation of the patent laws. And you can't just, there's a reason why the price is so high. And you can't just come along and say, and just cap it. Because now you're gonna create shortages. Because I'm telling you, price controls always lead to shortages. So if you have diabetes, get ready for shortages of insulin. And what always happens after that is everybody complains about the shortages. So the government nationalizes the industry. The government's going to nationalize the industry, and then the government will be the one to supply you with your insulin. And then you'll be dependent on the government for your insulin, and the government will ration that insulin out to you. And you may get it, you may not get it, depending on if they like you or not, or if they determine that you are doing everything right, or if you're doing everything wrong, you won't get your insulin. You know, they're going to make certain demands on you. Well, you know, because we need to, that insulin, everybody needs insulin, and you're using an awful lot of it, so we're going to tell you how to live, and we're going to tell you what to eat, and we're going to, you know, once you give up that control to the government, they can do anything they want, because they can just say, well, it's for the public good. It's for the public good. Price controls are always a terrible idea. The way to lower prices is to increase competition, increase innovation, encourage innovation, get all the paperwork, the bureaucracy, the FDA. I did an episode on the FDA, how the FDA slows innovation and constricts the supply of everything in our healthcare system. Drugs, devices, procedures, they constrict the supply of everything. And they do it to enrich their buddies in the pharmaceutical and in different industries, the medical industries. It's a scam. It's basically a scam. So, all right, well, I should probably just stop there, but it goes on. I should do the second half in a different episode, just to keep these episodes short. But basically, yeah, he just goes on to spend, healthcare, drugs, you know, prescription drugs, energy. He wants to weatherize your home, child care, long-term care, housing, pre-K. Basically, he's just going to spend money. He's going to fly over in a helicopter and just rain money down on you for free stuff. Lots of free stuff. Hey, everybody, free stuff. It's really... it's just amazing to me that this guy, that anybody can support this guy who, you know, I mean, this is how countries collapse. This is how countries completely fall apart by these people who in leadership positions who are so stupid, so ignorant of basic economics, so detached from the lives of regular people, and they think that they can conjure resources out of thin air. They think the government can spend unlimited amounts of money. They think they can raise taxes on people forever and just take more of their money, and they think those people won't change their behavior. So I'll get into that in the second part of this, where he talks about raising prices, raising taxes on the rich and on businesses, which is the same old Democrat talking point where they just want to take from this group of people and give over here. And they just need this group of people to be bigger than this group of people. Steal from the 49% and give to the 51%. If they can do that, that's a model for success, for winning elections. But obviously, you the more you do that, the more you encourage the people over here in the 49% to jump sides, to switch sides, and say, well, why am I working, and why am I doing all this, you know, making money, and I'm just getting it all taken away from me, and I'm getting demonized. I'm just going to join this side. I'm going to be one of the slackers. I'm just going to stay home, and I'll collect my checks. And so the 49% whittles down to, you know, fewer and fewer taxpayers, and you get more and more and more tax consumers. Pretty soon, there's nobody left to steal from. You've stolen it all, and it's all gone. And then that's when you just the whole country collapses, and that's what happens. That's what happened in Venezuela, and that's what's going to happen in America. That's what's slowly happening in America. Okay. Well, that's it. I'm going to stop there. It's getting kind of dark anyway. So I will try to get another one out quicker this time, with part two of Joe Biden's stupid State of the Union speech. All right. Bye-bye.